life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been privileged to practice in the Richmond community for 31 years. So do the math, because then you can probably figure out how old I am. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Psychological issues are complex, and they are misunderstood. All of us have had issues that are emotional in nature. We all have blind spots, and we all get confused. We have all experienced sadness or depression, anxiety or panic, peer pressure, loss, and the list goes on and on. Yet, as a society, we underfund mental health programs, have morally confused notions of how to make the pain go away, and we judge others for their behavior. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce a topic and discuss that topic either with a knowledgeable guest or from my own body of information. And then I give you, the audience, an opportunity to call in, ask questions, or weigh in on the topic. This week, we are going to highlight the issue of anger. I don't generally talk about a specific emotion for an entire show, but I could probably talk about the emotion and the behavior involved in dealing with that emotion for 5, 6, 7 shows. So I think it's an important topic, and I'm going to get back to it in just a moment. If you'd like to call me today and talk about anger or express your anger or express how you express your anger, feel free to call me, 649-9737, 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR-FM, 97.3 on your dial. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. This show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all my past shows, by logging on to WRIR's website and simply clicking on my show, which will get you to my website, and then you can follow the directions. Again, I am continuously trying to work on archiving those shows on the YouTube site. So if anybody has any ways of cracking that seemingly endless list of things I have to do in order to figure that out, please feel free to send me an email, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters yourmentalhealthmatters, all one word, @gmail.com. Okay, so I want to get you riled up here. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? Well, I don't know. Here's what I got as a response when I sent that out as a question to people. What I got almost repetitively when asking that question, I got the answer, stupid people make me angry. And that is just... that's lame, I gotta tell you. And we're gonna talk further about it in a minute. So I got, people who are late make me angry. My husband makes me angry. My children make me angry. My mother makes me angry. The tax system makes me angry. The government makes me angry. Traffic makes me angry. Being asked to do work that I didn't contract for makes me angry. Do these things resonate to you? What makes you angry? I'd really like to know. So call me and let me know. 649-9737. What makes you angry? Well, I'm going to tell you what makes me angry. What makes me angry is, are. What makes me angry are seemingly unequal treatment of the same problem. So one of the things that I can really give my power away to and allow myself to really be irritated about is the inequities of the world. And there are many. And I can sort of really let that stuff in and stew on it. I can get very, very angry when I see people who are in power not using their power to make situations better. I get angry when people don't think through a response to something and instead respond in ways that are lazy or short-sighted or not well thought through when they have the capacity to do those things. That makes me angry. It makes me angry when people are critical of other people and yet don't look at their own foibles, because I really do subscribe to the school of thought that says those of us who are without sin may throw the first stone. And in truth, we are all broken in some way. And if you have a pocket full of stones, it doesn't get us anywhere. So it makes me angry when I see grown people abusing defenseless children. It makes me angry when I see people who are in power treating some subsection of humanity differently than another subsection of humanity. Judgmentalness makes me angry. Okay, so these are all the things that make me angry. I'd really like to hear what makes you angry. So give me a call and tell me, 649-9737, 649-9737. You're listening to Gail Moskowitz. This is Mental Health Matters. And you, we're talking about anger today. So give me a ring, 649-9737. Great music. I love that music. One of the problems with that music, when it comes on, I want to beep bop to it as opposed to actually, you know, do my show. Like to, it just gets me going. All right, so now let me give you a few myths about anger. You see, there used to be this myth that people should express their anger and it will make them feel better. Now, you might think that that's not a myth. You might actually believe that. That if you really express your anger, you'll feel better. And you will, but you'll feel better for a very short amount of time, because really what you're doing is you're fatiguing yourself, and the other side of fatigue is always sort of an exhaustion that takes away all of the, it's like you shoot your hormonal wad, and then the other side of it is this more calm muscle. So that's what you're doing when you blow off your anger. So when you feel angry, and if I'm telling you that blowing off your anger isn't going to make it any better, then how does one manage anger? And it is a very, very pervasive question, because we all walk around wondering about that all the time. Then there's the other side, the other people in the world who never give themselves permission ever to identify and articulate their anger, ever. And that's not always such a good thing either. So if I'm telling you that expressing your anger doesn't really do anything, and if holding on to your anger and never expressing it never doesn't really do anything, then what do you do with this all-pervasive feeling that permeates all of our lives? It's a hard question, and I actually do have an answer. So if you are very angry at somebody and you turn around to that somebody and blow up at them, What is that going to look like at the end of blowing up at that person? So, one, you might intimidate them, or they might cow to you, or they may burst into tears, or they may run away from you. But I can tell you almost beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are not going to be able to quietly and calmly listen to your rage and respond to you in a way that is going to make you automatically feel better. The other thing they might do is blow up back at you, get defensive, scream in your face. It might even come to blows. But I can tell you almost beyond a shadow of a doubt that at the end of that altercation, neither of you are going to wind up feeling better. So, okay, I'm still not giving you an answer. What do you do with that anger? Well, what you do with that anger is you hold on to it long enough to calm yourself down, bring it into consciousness, and make decisions about it that will give you a better outcome than the one I just described. So I'm going to give you an example and walk you through it so you have some sense of what I'm saying. I just want to say that this is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. The topic today is anger. And if you'd like to talk to me about anger or what you get angry about, please give me a ring, 649-9737. 649-9737. Okay, so let's say you have a best friend. And let's say that, okay, so you have a best friend, and one of the things you and your best friend like to do together is every Tuesday, she comes over and you watch some one of those shows together. Reality shows. I've never watched a reality show, so I cannot tell you, but one of those, okay, maybe The Biggest Loser. Okay, that's a reality show. Okay, you like watching that show together. And every single week, this is sort of a thing that you do. She comes over, you have dinner together, and it's kind of a fun evening, and you have a star in your calendar in the middle of the week, because otherwise, you know, you go to work, you whatever. So this is a fun thing to do. And what happens is that one week your friend calls and she says she's got a better invitation and she really, really wants to go. And she's sorry, 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 and please forgive her, but she goes off. And this really aggravates you. But you forgive her and you move on. And 3 weeks later, she does the same thing. And 3 weeks after that, she does the same thing. And by this time, you're feeling pretty angry. And when you see her at work the next day, you simply just don't talk to her. That's another really, really difficult way to try to express your anger, is passive aggressively, by just not talking about it. And you just sort of brush by, hi, how are you? She knows you're angry. You know you're angry. She knows what she did. And okay, so you stew about it all day. And at the end of the day, as you're walking out to your car, you say to her, I can't believe that you have done this to me 3 times in the last couple of months. I don't know what's going on. Are you mad at me? No, I'm not mad at you. Nothing's the matter. These things just came up, and I don't know why you're being so I don't know why you're being so, picky about it. And the next thing you know, the two of you wind up having a very inadequate conversation about the situation. You both go home feeling like crap. And next Tuesday, when she comes over to watch her TV show with you, you just both feel bad. Clearly, you're estranged from one another at this moment. There is a conflict in your relationship, and you're angry, and she's angry too. She's also a bit ashamed of herself, and yet she also feels like she has the right to do something different. So let me think deeper about this situation, okay? The truth of the matter is that relationships shift. They change all the time. And that all people are, you know, we're not, none of us are a steady state, none of us. So that all of a sudden the rules of the game shift. And if you then choose to see this one situation in a vacuum, then you cannot do anything but feel crappy about it and then take it out on the person who makes you feel bad. So let's get a little bit deeper. What's happened is that your friend hurt your feelings. What's happened is that your friend rejected you. You feel rejected. And what's happened is that you don't feel like you have the power to heal the rift that this is happening. And all of this gets summed up in you being and acting angry, and nothing underneath the anger gets dealt with. Your girlfriend feels ashamed of herself for changing the plans, but aggravated at you for staying in her way and not allowing her to do something different. So she's now angry at you. This is not going to end well. This could become an estranged relationship. But if somebody you've been friends with long enough, you have to believe that all relationships have conflict and that this conflict has to be dealt with. And you have to be able to say how you think and feel in relation to somebody else. So remember I said you can't rant and rave, it's not going to make you feel better? But what you can do is you can wait until the situation is settled a bit, where you aren't in an enraged place, and you must teach yourself then to have a one-to-one conversation with this friend and be able to say, you know, you and I have been doing this TV watching every week for a very long time. And when you changed the rules on me, it hurt my feelings and it made me afraid that you don't want to be in an ongoing best friend relationship with me anymore. And I need to know if that's the truth. And perhaps what your friend might say to you is, the truth is I love spending time with you and I really enjoy your company, but this show's beginning to get a little boring for me. And when these other activities came up, I guess I just kind of took the opportunity to go do them. And I tried to think that it didn't really matter and you didn't care. And I can see that I hurt your feelings. And no, I don't in any way, shape, or form not want to be your friend anymore. I just don't think I want to watch this silly show anymore. Perhaps that's the end of it. And I don't know what the outcome's going to be. But I can tell you that if you righteously hold on to your anger, that situation is not going to ameliorate as quickly as calming yourself down, remembering that this is a blip in your life-o-meter, that all relationships have conflict, and that you are now having a conversation about a whole host of feelings that would have been derailed had you blown up at your friend. And that is why when I say holding on to your anger, never speaking about it, or blowing up doesn't work. And the things you say to yourself about never speaking about your anger and never getting into that interaction where you believe you can solve conflict with people, you say to yourself, oh, they're not going to change anyway, or they'll be upset with me if I say something and they won't want to be my friend anymore, or, oh, it's no big deal. When all of those things are foregone conclusions you're making without checking it out. So if you want the outcome to be as it always is, then you can just be oblivious to your own feelings and the outcome will never change. You don't give that person a chance to listen to how he or she is affecting you. and then nothing will ever shift in a positive way. In order to have depth in relationship, we have to have conflict. We have to be able to solve conflict and move on from it. So let's talk about really toxic anger. There are some people who live in a pool of anger. They're angry at everything. And some of these people can be pretty dangerous. What I want to say to you about that is that if you are a person that holds on to anger in a chronic way, and that you walk around with that angry pain inside of you all the time, it's really important to begin to look at where that anger comes from. And so often that anger is about powerlessness and disappointment. You feel disappointment in how your life looks or how the outcome of things are, and you feel powerless to change it. And the disappointment might be that the systems around you don't work very well. People don't do their best. Whatever that is, that original statement, I get angry at stupid people, what a silly thing to say. We all have holes in our functioning. We all do some things very well and some things poorly. My most competent, intelligent friends have holes in their functioning. We all do. So if you are a person who walks around in a pool of anger all the time, you give yourself permission to not opt in to solving the problems of your life, and then you give yourself permission to be angry all the time. And in truth, that anger derails you ever being less than disappointed, and that anger derails you ever feeling like you have power in your own life. And we all know that the only power you have is your reaction to a situation. We don't have power over situations. We only have power over how we react to them. So let me talk a little bit about the chronically angry person. And let me just sort of give you an example, okay? Sometimes I have conversations with people and they say things about themselves without even realizing it. So I'm going to give you an example, okay? So I'm talking about going away for the weekend with a bunch of my girlfriends. And I was talking about that to somebody else I know, not somebody who I'm as dear with, but to somebody else I know. And I said, you know, while I'm excited, it makes me a little anxious to kind of leave my home for the weekend and stay, you know, go away with a bunch of people for the weekend because, you know, I'm used to living in my own house, having my own space. And as you get older, you get a little less flexible. And, you know, it makes me a little nervous, but I'm very excited and I think it's going to work out well, I say. At which point this woman says to me, I wouldn't spend the weekend with five other women for all the money in the world. Women are blankety blanks. Women are, and I'm looking at this woman thinking, that's interesting. Okay. In the same conversation, this woman said two other things to me. She said that she would prefer to spend the weekend with her cats, that she liked animals better than people, and that, you know, again, the statement about women, and that women couldn't solve problems with one another because they were too self-centered. Okay, now I'm having a conversation with someone who says she likes her cats more than she likes people, and she wouldn't spend the weekend with women. And all that can sort of do is take my breath away. One, because I'm a person and I'd like to think I'm more likable than a cat, although I am a cat person, so don't get me wrong, I love animals. And two, I am a woman, so this is not something that I feel really comfortable with. So when we think those things, we have to have the ability to look inside of ourselves. We have to have the ability to say, how can I feel this about my gender? Because on some level, you feel that about yourself. If you are saying that about your gender, then you are saying about yourself that I can't get out of my own head, that I cannot deal with the things that have happened to me that have hurt me, so I therefore don't have the ability to solve conflict, and women have hurt me and I can't solve that with them, so I don't have the ability to solve conflict. And when I'm feeling petty or out of control or jealous or envious, those feelings are so abhorrent to me that all I can do is hate that anybody else will have those feelings, while in truth, we all have those feelings. So when you have that kind of entrenched negative view, it's often about your own self, your own shame, your own disappointments, and your own powerlessness. And the only place for you to start in that case is with yourself. And in truth, in any situation, when you find yourself overwhelmingly angry, the first thing you have to do is you have to say, what part did I play in this? And the second part, and you may not have played any part in it. You know, things happen. Perhaps you're sitting in your car and somebody piles into you. You didn't do anything wrong and you're pretty angry. Well, you're out of control and you're powerless and you're, oh my gosh, you know, your car just got demolished. I understand you being angry. That anger isn't going to get you anywhere because you're not going to solve any problem. You're going to have to dust yourself off and get pragmatic and solve the problem. But in a personal kind of thing, you have to look at what part you play. If there's something you can do different or some part of it you can take responsibility for or some way you can change the situation, then do that. Perhaps the part you played may be that you have allowed somebody to take advantage of you repeatedly and now it's blown up. So maybe the piece you have to deal with right then is why you're being a wuss and why you're letting somebody take advantage of you repeatedly. And maybe the thing that you have to learn how to do is set some boundaries with people whose behavior spills into your life in a way that is not acceptable and you don't have to accept that. So you look at your part of it. And then once you're able to do that, you can diffuse those feelings and make decisions, whether it's to have a conversation with the person who stirs that anger up inside of you, whether it's to change your relationship with that person, whether it is to physically change a situation or physically change or mentally change the way in which you look at that situation. But if you think that blowing off that anger, as I call it, priming the anger pump, is going to help you, it's not. All that does is make you feel worse. You can yell into as many pillows as you want, and it might make you feel fatigued, and that fatigue feels like that's like you're blowing off steam. May feel good, and I'm not saying you're not allowed to. I'm saying it's not a long-term solution. And holding your anger in until you're green in the face for your entire life is going to leave you without any satisfaction. Dealing with negative and powerful emotions it takes time and it takes energy and it takes thoughtfulness, and you've got to bring it to the fore, deal with the immediacy, dust yourself off, manage the problem either internally or externally, and you'll find that you'll have satisfaction. This is Gail Moskowitz. Thanks for listening to me. Mental Health Matters every Thursday, 1 o'clock on WRIR.
Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.